Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
Welcome back. It is Ladies of Liverpool. I'm Leanne Campbell, your host. We've been going for many, 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 many years. One of the original Scouse podcasts, but listened to right across the country and all across the world. So thank you. Wherever you're tuning in from today, it's so good to have you on board. A couple of new things. We've got a little fluffy dog on my knee because my dog is an anxious little person. And I think the guest I've got in today is perfect for my dog, Diego, to listen to. Plus, we've got a brand new sponsor. I am so honoured to have the Orthodontic Practice on board. Now, I'm very choosy about sponsors, as you will have noticed. And usually when they come on board, there is a reason. So our last sponsor provided so many opportunities for us to win prizes, for us to furnish our homes, and for you to get brand new pieces in your house all for free. Now, this is a bit different. With the Orthodontic Practice on Rodney Street, we are teaming up for the next couple of months just to make sure that Liverpool and the Northwest are aware of what they do. And I can only speak very personally about the ladies that run this practice, the treatment that my family have received and the story behind that. It might be a little bit original unless you hear it when I get the gang on and you think you've been through something similar. I'd love to hear from you. But long story short, I was told that one of my children would need surgery. I was told to go away, bring them back when they're 18, put them on the list for Alder Hey. They'd need jaw surgery. And thankfully, I got a second opinion from the Orthodontic Practice. And they have been unbelievable. I cannot tell you the results we've had in just a couple of months. And I'm talking, I didn't know about a palate expander. I didn't know about headgear. I didn't know about some of these new practices that we're only just starting to hear about. And luckily, I've got to see exactly what they can do. And so I can talk to you about it firsthand when the girls come in. But for now, our guest this week is, I want to say, a long time friend, but I don't want it to make out like I've just got Ange on because she's my mate. I think what this woman does, and I've been watching her journey for so long, is out of this world. And I think all of you need to hear from Ange herself. Ange, talk to us about your business that is a bit like my podcast, a passion project.
Yeah, it is a passion project. Mm-hmm. One that I didn't expect I would end up making a career, to be honest. So 5.5 years ago, I started Virago Wellness, which is a coaching business for women. And I support women through group coaching, one-to-one coaching and events. And let's go back like 10 years ago, as like you said, we actually met 17 years ago.
Can you believe that? I know. And we will tell you how we met in a minute. Yeah. It's, you won't believe it. It sounds like the most far-fetched story in the world. But we were supposed to meet.
At Serendipity, yeah.
Wasn't it just that night?
Yeah.
It sort of, we'll tell you that. Yeah. Now that sounds ropey. Me and Ange had this night together and nothing was the same after that.
But if I go back to kind of like who I was, you know, 10 years ago, I was, you know, busy working mum, actually just become a new mum, you know, 10 years ago. And I was, you know, in the 9 to 5, I was a, you know, put your makeup on, get yourself to work, you know, don't talk about your feelings. I wasn't into any of this life coaching stuff, Leanne, thought, to be honest, it was all a load of rubbish. Okay. And I was someone who had survived things that had happened in my life through, like,
I used to joke to friends that I had a secret compartment and I used to just swallow things down and lock the key and I didn't talk about it. And that was my way of coping with life.
Sounds very familiar. I can feel people relating as we speak. That lock in the drawer, put it in the drawer, lock it up. Doesn't need to be dealt with. It'll be all right. It'll go away in time. You'll forget about
it. It will. Yeah. And I did that for many, many years. And I did have a really, you know, a good life. You know, I was happy. I was married, became a mum, had the, you know, the second home that we'd always wanted, all of those things, and everything was really good on paper. And then I had my second daughter in 2019 and I went back to work and I just started to feel quite disconnected from myself. And I think that locking things away for so many years had led me to become quite like numb. I think when you hide and lock away the hard stuff, you also numb yourself to all the positive things in your life. And it's that kind of like dory, just keep swimming, just keep swimming. Yeah. And I think I'd done that for so many years. And then in 2019, I was just struggling in work. I was having a couple of panic attacks. There were certain situations in work that felt minor, but for me, I was struggling to cope with them.
Yeah.
So I happened to just meet a life coach and she introduced herself and said she was starting out and she was like, you know, do you fancy a couple of free sessions? And
I thought, again, serendipity though.
Oh my God.
Things happen for a reason, yeah.
And I thought to myself, well, I'm not feeling great, so I've got nothing to lose. Why don't I go for it? And I remember I set myself up in work and I had like my laptop open for my first call, booked a room and I was all set. And I had my notepad of all the things I wanted to change in my life in order to feel different, to feel happier, to feel connected.
Yeah.
And the first question she asked me was like, who's Angela? Tell me who you are. And I was like, okay. So I'm a mum, I'm a wife, I'm head of culture for an online retailer. And she was like, just kind of, oh, yeah, thank you. Well, there are all the roles that you play in life, Ange.
But that's exactly what I'd say, yeah.
Exactly, all that is hats. What you would say, yeah. You just say your hats, don't you? And she was like, no, I want to know more about Angela, like, tell me the essence. Are you like, who is Angela? I was
like, oh, hey.
I know.
Pause the pod and answer that yourself. Grab a pen and paper and write down. See if you can write down four things. I'm struggling.
It's like, hard.
I'm Jimmy and Linda's daughter. I started on the BBC recently in my first show. That's how I introduced myself to the listeners. I'm Jimmy and Linda's daughter. I'm Annabelle and Joseph's mom. Jimmy's wife.
Yeah. Even daughters, it's a title, isn't it? And, you know, and it's an important part of who you are.
Yeah.
As is like being a mom and the job I did at the time. They were all part of me.
But someone said, no, you can't say any of that. Who are you? I feel like someone's got their hand around me throat. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you do. You do.
Do I?
I think, yeah.
What was I saying?
Oh,
you lot are stumped as well. It's not just me. Yeah, the listeners are stumped as well, surely.
It's hard. Oh God, you're so much. You're creative, you're ambitious, you're driven, you're sparkly, you're an entertainer. You're an entertainer. And that's not a job. Yeah. I think whatever you did in life, you would entertain and you would.
Yeah, I could probably work on the till in the Tesco and still.
People would be drawn to you because of your energy. But at the time, I just didn't feel like I had an answer to that question.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
You know, I found myself thinking, well, you know, I'm an Evertonian. I hadn't been the match for like 10 years. I was like, you know, you think back to like when you're at school, what you used to say, like, I like playing hockey. It was all nothing.
It was like your friend, Jujuo football. I don't play football, but I know how to say it.
Yeah.
You just start saying things because you think it's the right answer.
Yeah. But it wasn't the right answer. And what I've come to learn is that I was at this point in life where I think a lot of women fall into this trap, Leanne, where we're living life in service of everyone around us, you know,
100%.
Family, our boss, you know, our partners. And actually we put ourselves to the bottom of the list. And I, as a new mum, that's exactly where I was. And as a result, I wasn't feeling confident in myself. Mm-hmm. That's why I was having so many struggles, you know, in work and just not feeling grounded or settled in who I was as a woman. So when we fall into that place, we're constantly looking outside of ourselves for validation. And you know, actually what I've come to learn is that the more that you understand yourself, so this kickstarted a self-discovery journey that's ongoing for me now, is taking time to process what you want as a person and what matters most to you, you know, defining yourself away from those titles that you give yourself and really starting to build up your confidence, your self-worth. And I just started this journey and it was so transformative for me in the space of a year that in 2020, I said to Neil, you've met, right, I've got a 5-year plan. I'm getting out of corporate. I'm going to be a coach and I'm going to support women. And that was in the start of 2020.
And it seemed quite new then. So your Neil must have been a bit like, okay.
Oh, Neil was just like nodding away.
You've got this really good job.
And we needed my salary and all. And he was like, yeah, okay, that sounds like a plan. You know, good for you. You know,
yeah.
He's all, you know, we're always really encouraging of each other. But it was 5 years away. So it was like, you know.
Yeah.
But then we all know what happened in 2020.
Of course.
A pandemic hit. And things changed a lot in work. You know, there was a lot of fear, wasn't there, about working from home. And my job was head of culture. So it was all about people and what people needed. And a lot of my authority was taken away from me because the people at the top wanted to make sure that it was, you know, that they were in control.
Yeah.
Because it was unprecedented. Nobody knew what was going on.
Yeah.
And as I felt that control at work pull away from me and my confidence growing, I just felt like I need to do something now. Yeah. I need to do something for me. So that 5-year plan turned into a 6-month plan and a left
business. Timing is everything, I think, in life. Yeah. Things happen at just the right time, even if it doesn't feel like everything about lockdown felt wrong.
Yeah.
When you reflect back on your journey and your story, that's exactly how it would have been written if it was to be written
absolutely
in the right way. Yeah.
And in a way, what I found was because of this work I'd done on my mindset, I was actually thriving through lockdown because I felt like I had a toolkit to support me, but I felt like everyone around me didn't. So that catapulted my drive to want to be able to help people.
So when you sit down with someone or someone contacts you, so any of our listeners now, imagine yourself, you'd send a little DM on Instagram or a message on Facebook to Angela and you say, look, I'm struggling with X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what happens, or do people come to you for many different reasons? Are they always struggling, or...?
Do you know what? Struggling is an interesting word, isn't it? Because actually what I find with my clients and with coaching in general, a lot of people that are willing to invest in coaching are actually people who, you know, they understand the power of mindset. They're quite new to this stuff. Like with what I pride myself on is that loads of my clients have never done any mindset work before, but they look at my journey and they go, there's something about that. There's something about loss of identity, wanting to rediscover yourself that I want to be part of. And there will be lots of reasons. They could be going for a breakup. They could be wanting to start something themselves, a business or something, a passion project. Maybe they might be going for a promotion, but they know there's something in their mind that's holding them back from like moving through those things that they're experiencing. So it's not always a struggle. Sometimes it's just a point in your life where you need a little bit of support.
Crossroads, is
a
that?
A crossroads, yeah.
Is that absolutely the key?
Yeah.
Because that's what I was wanting to ask you. Is it always someone who's in the depth of something? Or, because I imagine with you, in my head, I'm thinking there must be a catalogue of all these different people coming for different reasons.
Yeah.
Is it the same toolbox that you're using for all of these different situations?
Oh my God, yeah. It's the same toolbox, but it's different outcomes for different women. So this is what I love about it. And I have like a signature course called Embrace Your Truth, which is based on that question of who is Angela. It's like helping women to go through that process. It's a 6-week program and they answer all these questions. They go through this like homework I set, and by the end of it, they understand themselves better and they've got this toolkit to take away. How they use that is completely different depending on who they are and what their experience.
So
the time,
isn't it?
It's so interesting for me because I get to support doctors, teachers, you know, business owners, and they're all brilliant women as well. They're so inspiring.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk about struggle and crossroads, the great thing for me about coaching, and I think why I never went down the counselling route necessarily, was that it's focused on the here and now and moving forward. And it's very positivity led, which, you know, I'm a glass half full person. I know you are as well, because you wouldn't be where you are now. And like, having that positivity bias in coaching is a gift, because not everyone has it.
Yeah.
And like teaching women how to reframe things, teaching women how to process things, understand themselves better. It's a joy and I love it.
I once spoke to a counsellor many years ago, not in a professional way, just at an event. You know, so we were just chatting, just a bit like we are now.
Yeah.
I was just asking a few little questions. And she said to me, just within a couple of minutes, I see that you always try and find the positive in something. And sometimes things are just what they are. There isn't a positive at the end of it. There isn't a, well, let's look for the good thing in it. And it really started sending me west, because I was like, well, if I can't do that, I don't know how I cope with anything, because that is my coping mechanism. I go, okay, it's shit.
Yeah.
This is happening and it's shit. I'll sit with it for a minute. But I always regret not asking her, well, what's the alternative?
I know.
Because I will sit with a problem and I will go, okay, this is awful. Take grief, for example.
Yeah.
Grief, I struggle with grief, and I don't know if anyone listening can relate to this. I struggle because I feel in every situation, even as a child, when someone passed away, and I've dealt with so many people passing away, it's like ridiculous. And I've always felt my job was to look after the people around me, because if it was your nan, then surely your mum's hurting more than you, so you've got to be okay for her.
Yeah.
And so that has carried on with me through life, even to the point when I lost my best mate. My kids loved her, so I've got to, I can't show weakness to my kids, because what if something happens to me? I've got to show them how to, and that's not right either.
I know, and I totally resonate with that. I had a similar journey with losing my mum, and I remember Neil at our wedding saying the thing about Angie, she just wants everyone to be happy, and you take on that role, don't you, of, well, this is awful for everyone. Like, you know, I lost my mum, my dad lost his wife, you know, and you do, and you go into, well, I'll be okay, but let me help them. But the thing about grief, and I'm sure you'll know, is it will catch up with you.
Yeah.
And I think I didn't start grieving my mum until that point in life where everything, the cupboards, as I spoke about, burst open, and I was like, whoa, I need to like unpack this stuff, you know, and let go.
Angie, I dread that happening to me. I think I'll end up with a mental ward.
No, but you won't, because you'll have heard this before, and that what that counsellor said to you is right, because I've always been the type of person that I loved to believe that everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
But then some things are so tragic that there cannot be a reason, you know?
Yeah.
And the more I've heard stories and the more aware I've become over the last 5 years, I'm like, that can't be for a reason. That evil that exists, there can't be a reason for that.
Yeah.
But there can be a response to that that is usually a positive.
Yes.
You know, and you, I can tell you've got a positivity bias, because, you know, things you've been through and how you approach life when it knocks you down. Mm-hmm. I've got a present for you, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, I know, because my business, as you know, it's called Virago. And the reason I picked this name is because it means strong, brave, courageous woman in Latin. I did iron this for you, Leanne, but look.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
But it's a little tote bag for you.
Thank you.
I do see you, and I think you're not the type of person who... You don't trauma dump on the internet, but you're honest about what you're going through.
Yeah.
And you always come back courageous and fighting. And I love that about
Thank you.
You
my
that is the way to Thank be you. In life. That's
It seems like, especially living in, like, look at 2026, you can't predict what's going to happen left, right and centre.
No. Nope.
I always come back to the, whether it's, you know, losing someone or career-wise or, you know, family or whatever it is that anyone's struggling with, we all go through it. You're not the first, you're not the last. And if you can bring some kind of sunshine to someone to say, I've been there, or I felt what you're feeling, but it doesn't last forever. Nothing lasts forever. Even the good stuff doesn't last forever.
It doesn't. And life is about all of those different feelings and emotions, aren't they? Yeah. When I talked earlier about getting to that place of numbness where I felt I was pushing everything down, I wasn't really experiencing the joy. And I remember going to one of my first sort of self-discovery nights, and it was like a journaling night, and I was like, I don't know why I'm here, but my friend was doing it, and I thought, I'll just go along. And I started writing, and I just started crying, and I couldn't stop crying. And since then, I don't think I've ever stopped crying, but I've unlocked emotion in myself. I feel things,
and that's
deeply.
A good thing, isn't it?
I love it now. You know, someone starts telling me like a joyful story, I'll well up, and they're like,
yeah,
you know, my kids are like, you crying again over like Britain's Got Talent and stuff, and I'm like, yeah, because I love it. Like, I love seeing people experience and joy and happiness. Yeah. And in order to have those high experiences in life of joy and happiness and love and connection, you also have to experience the dark times.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes it real.
You definitely do. When you spoke earlier about panic attacks, I want to touch on that, because panic attacks are so common, not just in women, but in children as well at the moment. I speak to so many people now who talk to me about their kids struggling, and we pin it down to their childhood is different to ours. So they've got a constant barrage of video
information
and information and fake information and AI videos that aren't real. And they're trying to navigate their way around this world, but they're not mature enough to understand a lot of it. And so it's sort of embedded this fear into the youth, into kids. And there's different ways they can manage that. They can either come out fighting and be like, I'm going to take on the world and I'm angry with everything, and or they can go into the shells. So when we speak of people struggling like panic attacks, is it different when you manage, because I know you manage young people as well as grown adults?
What I would say is that everyone thrives when they feel safe. So for a young person, the most important thing is that they have those safety connectors. And some young people have safety at home. And unfortunately, some young people don't have safety at home. You know, they're from very, you know, volatile backgrounds, difficult family life, and their safety might be at school. But then they go into school or they open the phone and they don't feel safe when they see the information in front of them. Yeah. So something like a panic attack, which, and I'm not like a doctor, I'm not an expert, but for me, they came when I wasn't feeling safe in myself.
Yeah.
And I needed a safety mechanism. And mine was finding safety within myself, because no matter where I am, I'll always be with myself, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And when I'm working with a young person, that's exactly what I try and do. I say, like, you will experience difficult situations. You know, you might be in a situation where you don't feel safe. Yeah. If you can calm yourself in that moment, if you can make yourself feel safe, then that's what's going to be the thing that anchors you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I think kids build resilience. Yeah. It annoys me a lot when people say, well, kids need to be more resilient these days because they're fighting against so much, you know, like you said.
Yeah, yeah.
Kids need to feel safe. And that, you know, I think as soon as they can bring in some kind of parameters and bans around social media, that the safer they're going to feel.
Yeah.
I do feel quite strongly about that. But yeah, I've got a 10-year-old. She's starting secondary school in September, and it's hard, you know. I do work in schools, and I can't believe some of the stuff that, like, young kids have to cope with and contend with. But I also believe in the strength of humans, and particularly young people. So that adolescent brain is when our brain is most like able to adapt and change. So neuroplasticity at that point in life is that's a time when you need to embed those strong beliefs about yourself.
So if anyone's got a young person now who's struggling, would you say attack it now rather than wait until they're in the 20s and the 30s and then they're coming to you and saying, oh, I was struggling in my teens? Would you say to work through with someone like yourself? Or is there a chance that you said something there that hit a nerve with me, and I know exactly what you're saying because we hear it all the time in conversations. There is a lot of talk of, well, we managed it, we handled it, we were all right, but it was a different world.
Yeah.
But then the argument to that is, but we were going through other things that kids now don't go through.
I know.
So it's that, isn't it? This, I don't know, this belief that, and we heard it when we were younger, older people would go to us, oh, you've got it easy now. And they hang on a minute, you were paying 30 quid for that house. Totally different.
Even now, every generation has got a different
opinion.
Everyone's
got their own opinion and
about what you're doing wrong.
Their own trauma and their own triggers.
Yes.
So going back to, would you say you would advise young people to speak to someone like yourself if they're going through something, rather than let them work it out, let them go through the storm, let them feel it all, and then...
I think it's got to come from the young person, and that's when it's hard when you're a parent, because you want to fix. And I worked with a 15-year-old, and it was because I was working with her mum. So I did one-to-one coaching with her mum, and she's a long, you know, returning client, and she's done lots of work with me. And she said to me, oh, I think my daughter could do with a bit of support. Would you help her? And I said, I need to speak to her and let's see if this is something she wants to do. Because there's nothing worse than, like, your mum wheeling you in to speak to a 40-odd-year-old woman about
imagine
your life.
That.
So we did, we had a call and mum wasn't there, you know, it was on Zoom, and I just talked to her about who I was, the type of work that I did, and made sure she knew that everything that we discussed would be confidential unless I thought that she was at risk to herself or someone else. And then I left it to the young person to decide.
Yeah.
And thankfully she did agree to work with me, and we had a gorgeous relationship, and she's 21 now. And
so what was she struggling with, and what was the outcome?
So she was, like a lot of kids at the moment, she was struggling that wasn't nice. And therefore she'd missed some school because of that as a young person. Then she'd had COVID thrown on top of it. So she'd actually missed quite a lot of school, and she wasn't enjoying school. She didn't have a good relationship with her teachers. So actually she'd experienced a lot of therapy because of what she'd experienced, but because her mum had worked with me, she was like, I think she needs a bit of you. I think she needs a bit of confidence building. I want her to be excited about her future.
Yeah.
So that's what we focused on. And that she did.
So wonderful. So she
did.
Way,
you know, yeah. When you talked about, like, is it the same tools? So I did the same course with her that I did for her mum.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's exactly the same course, but she's approaching it from the eyes of a 15-year-old girl.
Yeah.
And she was. She had a limiting belief that she was never going to pass a test because she'd failed a lot of her exams because she'd not been in school. Mm-hmm. So what was a big thing that we worked on was, how can we build this belief that you are capable, first of all, of passing an exam?
Yeah.
So we worked on that first, and she did. She got her first C, and she was like, oh my God, well, whatever it is now, the equivalent in new money.
Yeah, I know. I can't keep up. I've got to struggle through GCSEs. Yeah. I'm like, not a clue.
What is it?
Yeah.
So she got a first pass, and then we started to work on this belief that she was someone that passed exams. And so it was just about building her confidence about going into school, and we worked on triggers, and we worked on things like, you know, she didn't like her teachers. And what we did, she did a vision board, because kids love vision boards, don't they? And she had this gorgeous vision for her future. And I remember saying to her, if you want that future, how are you going to get it?
Yeah.
Because if you don't go to school, that ain't happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, or get some kind of education. And it clicked with her. And I said to her, you can go to school and not like your teacher.
Yeah.
But you can know that you're going to get something out of going there.
Yeah.
Don't do it for your teacher. Don't do it for your mum and dad. Do it for yourself.
And that's quite common, isn't it, for kids to clash with a teacher.
Yeah.
And we can all sit and think of someone, or even your kids. Yeah. And sometimes the teacher's personality clashes with the child.
Exactly. And she had neurodiversity stuff going on as well. So she hadn't had a great experience at school. And eventually she started showing up for herself, not for anyone else. And she was passing exams. And then she got the GCSEs she needed to go on to study fashion in Liverpool. And she left with a distinction.
Oh, wow.
Then she passed a driving test. And, like, you know, like, I watch you from afar and vice versa, and I just watch her now from afar, and she's working now, and I'm just like, every time she does something, it's just like, go on, girl. Like, I just love it.
Yeah.
She's thriving, and, you know, and that was a joy. I do enjoy working with young people. That's been a new thing for me recently. I've been working alongside two other women. We started a community interest company because Virago was thriving. But I'll be honest, and you'll know that, you know, a lot of people that work with me, you've got to be fairly privileged to be able to, you know, to pay for
coaching
and invest in yourself.
I see this on stage all the time, invest in yourself. And you think, well, not everyone can.
Exactly. And I've always wanted Virago to be something that was accessible financially. So my prices aren't over the top.
Yeah.
The entry level for people who it's new to them. And that's why I do things like the retreat days, because you might not be able to afford to do a course with me, but you can come along to a retreat day.
Yeah.
And you can get a lot out of that.
Yeah.
And I bring prices down for people and stuff like that. So, but about 2 years ago, me and two other women at Lauren, who's an amazing fitness pre and postnatal fitness instructor, and Amy, who's mindfulness, Reiki, meditation.
Yeah.
We were sat around a table, and all our clients were thriving who worked with all three of us. So, you know, that mind, body, soul connection.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we were like, do you know what? Why don't we come together, create a community interest company so that we can apply for funding and we can offer this stuff to people in Liverpool, Merseyside, who wouldn't normally have access
really
to this
idea. Yeah.
So we've been going, Trinity Wellness CIC has been running for 2 years now. We support women and girls with their mental, physical, and emotional health. So we work in schools and we work with new mums as well. So we've got like 5 or 6 sessions a week with mums can bring their babies, and they have mindset sessions. They have relaxation, meditation and fitness sessions.
Do you know
as
what?
Well.
My mum would love this. My mum was out picketing. She had a sign outside the Live Buildings for the children's centres.
Oh, I know.
And so this, you're really filling a void. We need a
void.
So many of you.
Yeah.
Like they'll probably need about...
What we're finding is, because the we thought this was going to be a little side hustle because we all had our own businesses.
Children's centres are so important to our communities right across Liverpool and beyond. And then when we started losing all of those, I know the difference between having Joseph and having Annabelle. That was 3.5 years. Yeah. The difference between what was available with Joseph and the support to what was there with Annabelle was drastically different.
It was, and it is. And I think that's why it's been so successful. Women are really responding to what we're doing. So, if you're in the Liverpool Council or Knowsley Council, so if you've got a purple bin, basically, or if you live in Knowsley, then check us out, Trinity Wellness CIC, on Instagram, and just DM us. And we basically have a WhatsApp group and we tell everyone what sessions we've got when.
Brilliant.
And we, like you said, there's only so many of us. So we're now at a point where we're starting to work with other practitioners as well, like good practitioners who can come in. And I've got an amazing woman today stepping in for me and delivering my session in Knowsley.
Yeah.
So, so long story short, I think what's always been so important to me, Leanne, is that mindset work is accessible to more and more people.
Yeah.
And that's why I love that a lot of my Virago clients are like, I've never done anything like this before, but I'm seen as like a safe option for people to get into it.
Yeah.
And then extending that, working with Amy and Lauren to actually start a community interest company that offers elements of this to even more women. It's just
been
amazing.
I love the thought behind it. You're just covering all bases and you've built
and built. Yeah.
And, you know, people speak so highly of you and the work that you do. So just remind us again, what are the courses you do? We've spoken about the kids and your CIC.
Yeah.
But the courses that, if I was to click on your page, that you offer at the moment.
So as a life coach, I offer one-to-one coaching and group coaching. My signature course is called Embrace Your Truth. Mm-hmm. That's what every Virago starts with.
Okay.
And it's a 6-week course, but you can do it over 12 weeks if you want a little bit of a break in between sessions. And that's your journey to understanding who you are and what makes you tick. And basically starting to be your own cheerleader, starting to be on your side, starting to live your life from what you want rather than what the world expects of you.
And it'd be wonderful if every young, and I say girl because ladies of Liverpool, but every young person had access to this. Almost like it should be in schools.
It should be in schools even more so. And, you know, there's loads of stuff, isn't there, about like AI taking over all the jobs. Mm-hmm. And I strongly believe work in people, because people can't be replaced by robots in that same way.
Yeah.
You could ask your, you know, you could ask your AI on your phone to be your life coach, but it won't be the same as like sitting face to face with a therapist. Like I've had
your energy and see your face.
I know
what's triggering you.
Yeah.
And that's a gift that you've got to be able to do that. And it must be wonderful to see the results at the end.
I love it.
The progression. So a long way away from me and you in Hong Kong planking, because that was a thing. So I did say I'd mention. So we met randomly on a night out in Hong Kong.
So weird.
2 Scousers bumped into each other, never met each other before, started chatting, realised we had mutual friends.
Yeah,
we had Ben and the Crosby gang and all that. And the next thing we knew, we were wrapped in fur coats in an ice vodka bar.
I know, we were together all night. I remember being in the bar with Neil and he went, they've got to be from Liverpool. He pointed over to you and Jay. And I was like, yeah, I think you're right.
This is so like we just started. Kids. It was, we were so young.
Oh, we were so young and free. And I didn't know much about you.
Yeah.
So we literally just met and I didn't know you were an entertainer.
Yeah.
So I'll just tell the story. It was quite funny. We obviously, one drink went into many.
Yeah.
And we ended up in that big bar with the Filipino band. Yeah. And, you know, they started playing Beatles songs. So you're like, come on. You know, the only Scousers in the bar. So we get on the stage with the band.
Massive club
on the stage with the band.
With
and I'm
tambourines.
Like, oh yeah, tambourines.
I didn't know that you were an entertainer. You end up with the microphone and start properly singing, like belting out like a proper professional. And I was like, I am out of my depth here. I had like a beer bottle that I was singing into, and I was like, this would be tambourine. I'm out me
so
depth.
This much is so fun. Embarrassing. But we had a ball.
Didn't and I mean. Just remember like connecting with your energy and Jay and like just such a lovely couple.
We had a ball. Peas so in a nice. Pod, weren't we?
Yeah. And so much fun.
We put the pictures up on Facebook and then we got to see how many people liked, this was before Instagram and everything, liked these pictures that we were both tagged in on. That we knew.
We knew. We had like those mutual connections.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. But to see you go from that, that was Carefree Ange.
Oh,
that was confident Carefree
Ange. That was Angie Pello.
Yeah, that was Angie Pello. And then, you know, fast forward a couple of years and babies come on the scene and COVID. And it was your journey that led you to where you are right now. I'm dead proud of everything you do.
I feel the same, Leanne. I love watching you and then just like, oh, yeah, you know.
Well, we sat here before the pod and we're like chatting away and I said, Tim, we were talking about, you know, things that we've struggled with. And obviously a lot of my stuff is public.
Yeah.
So you have really no option but to sort of follow it up with a, you know, but it tends to something good and try and find, as Leanne does, there's something good in something. But dealing with people's opinion on a public scale, on a, you know, public platforms and things like that, and being the face of change so many times in my industry has been so tough. And I've never, ever addressed it. I've sat on my own and had to cry, locked myself in the toilet and had a little whinge. I've even with my family and stuff, because I've never wanted them to think I was struggling. And I think there's something about your 40s where it catches up. You're running and you're running and it catches up, and I can feel mine like a bit of a shadow on my back at the moment, not in a bad way,
and it isn't a bad thing, it's part of your experience.
Need to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
And I've never acknowledged any of it. And this has been, I started in the public eye at 10, and it was, you know, people in the playground going, oh, you're playing Annie, we're not coming to see it, blah blah blah, all that stuff that as a kid you go home, you tell your mum goes, shake it off. And there's a great piece of advice that I've taken with me for years and years, and it's would you change lives with a person giving you their negative opinion? Would you ever go, okay, you know so much that I would happily change my life for yours? And I've always come back to that. And I don't know if that's useful to anyone listening right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whether it's a friend or a colleague or something who might be a bit negative around you or say unnecessary, inappropriate things to you, not necessarily on a public platform, but it could just be something while you're making a cup of tea and work. And that has always helped me. And I don't know whether it'll help anyone else, but would you change your life to be that person standing there being negative and having an opinion on something that's nothing to do with them? No. Is usually the answer.
Yeah, because most people, that negativity comes from something in them, doesn't it?
Unhealed business.
Yes. And, you know, honestly, like, two of the biggest things to come out of my clients is the power of reframe, the ability to look at a situation, feel it, experience it, but reframe it and think about what you've learned from it. So all that difficult stuff that you've been through publicly, the lessons that have come with that and how they've made you stronger, all that really matters. It's part of who you are. It'll make you, you know, as we get older, we talk about being in our 40s, but I am so excited for my 50s, my 60s, my 70s. I'm working with a lot of women who come to me who are older and they've been through the menopause and they're on the other side and they want to know who they are. And it's so exciting, Leanne, because these women are just, they've experienced stuff and it's made them so strong and so resilient, but so wise.
Yeah.
And I think there's wisdom in the pain that we have experienced that shouldn't go unnoticed. You know, you'll help someone else in the future and you're helping people just by that bounce back ability that you've got. And when something happens publicly and people are like, oh, you know, you could lock yourself away, you could be ashamed, but you've gone, well, this is the cards I've been dealt. What am I going to do with it?
Yeah. Yeah.
How am I going to make it better?
Yeah.
And that's you reframing in the moment, which is amazing.
But I get so many lovely messages of people saying, I was going through something similar, whatever it was that's been on Instagram or in the local press or wherever. I was going through something similar and I wondered what you would do.
Aww.
And I've watched you and you've shown me what I can do. And that's when you go, that's why I went through that.
Yeah.
It wasn't about me.
No.
It's about everybody else and we're all in it together. And you're not the first, you're not the last.
You know. And you know that, that resilience piece
Sorry, I've just lost my train of thought. You'll have to edit that out.
This is our menopause creeping in there. Our petty menis. Dead it all the time, man. Terrible for it. When you're on live radio and it happens and you're like,
professional. You said something then that it's gone.
What did I say about for someone else, for the journey, for you've gone through it?
It's come back to me.
Nice edit, Dan.
Redundancy is massive. When a woman has been through a redundancy, if they're not careful, they can take that as an internal thing that there's something wrong with them, that they did something wrong, and it's never about them. But the more that we don't understand ourselves, we have this, we all have like our own belief system basically that is basically running the show. Yeah. And unless we understand our belief system, we all have positive beliefs and we all have unresourceful beliefs as well, or negative if you'd like to touch on that. But if you are not aware of your belief system and then something like redundancy or a breakup happens to you, then you will then take all of those negative thoughts you've ever had about yourself and you'll go, well, there you go. There's the proof.
Yeah.
Because that happened to me.
Yeah.
But actually, it was never about all those things.
No.
They were just things that happened to you. And that change, that redundancy, that person not wanting to be with you, all of those things, they weren't about you.
Yeah.
They were about so much more.
Yeah.
And pulling yourself out of that, I think, is so important.
Yeah.
Like, we've got this view of resilience that it's like, I show it when I present, when I do workplace stuff, and it's a woman and she's pushing a boulder up a hill and she's really struggling. And when we think of resilience, sometimes that's what we think, like the struggle.
Yeah.
And actually, I show a picture of a woman stood on her own 2 feet with roots underneath her, because that's resilience. Yes. When you've got those roots of resilience, you know who you are, you believe in yourself.
Yeah.
You know that you're worthy of the best life, the best of life.
Yeah.
You know how to reframe a thought into something positive.
Yeah.
You know why things trigger you, but you know that you can leave that in the past.
Yeah.
You've processed things that you've been through. That's what makes you resilient. And that's what I like my clients to walk away with, those roots.
That's so powerful. At the start again, before we pressed record, we did a whole podcast together, accidentally just catching up. And I said to Anne, you know what? It's been 12 months since my industry shut down and moved to London. Not my job, my industry.
Yeah.
So if you think of it like, you know, commercial radio, you think of it like, you know, if you're a nurse or a dentist or, you work in a fashion retailer, if they all just closed down tomorrow and there was one dentist, one clothing shop, and it was all in London, and there are no jobs doing what you've done your whole life, it felt like the floor came from underneath me. And you think, what do I do? And the amount of people that said to me, it's happened for a reason, it'll be fine. And 12 months ago, when people said that to me, it stung, and it would be strangers either telling me their world had ended and I was taking on their grief because their normal had changed. They weren't getting what they were always used to. Or people saying to me, it's going to be fine. You're thinking, how's it going to be fine? Because where am I pulling that wage from? Where's that? I'm not going to pull that out of my arse. What?
Yeah.
How am I going to be fine? But if I can sit here and tell anyone anything, 12 months later, that change wasn't the end of something. It was the beginning of something. And it wasn't easy, and it didn't happen overnight, and it wasn't handed to me on a plate. But by reframing, which I'm going to steal from you now, I'm going to reframe everything. I had a different idea of what that was, but you've cleared that up for me. That's what I did. I took a minute with it and then I reframed it and I worked dead hard. And I go, if someone said to me now, you can go back 12 months and that won't happen, you'd be doing exactly what you're doing. I wouldn't do it for all the tea in China. I wouldn't thank you for it. I wouldn't go back. I would take this journey, this last 12 months, the good, the bad and the ugly, and I would do it all over again to get where I am just 12 months later.
That's amazing.
And that is for everyone now going through a divorce, going through the end of a job, going through something that they think, I don't know how I'm going to bounce back from this. I know. I think this might be the one time I can't bounce back. You'll bounce back.
You will. Life is tough, but you know what? Life also offers opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think if you can see opportunity, and
create opportunity.
Yeah. And like, you know, me and Neil are quite similar in that. And I love that about him is like, you know, stuff happens, like annoying stuff happens. Last week, the boiler broke. We had no hot water for a week, you know, and it's like you can either moan about it. Oh, God, woe is me. All this happened.
Yeah.
Or you can be like, well, aren't we lucky that we've got gym memberships and we can have a shower? But we actually start having cold showers. Oh, this is a wellness trend, apparently. You know, it's like
just look at life as opportunity, no matter what it throws at you. And if you hadn't have done that, you wouldn't be sat here today. You know, yeah. You could have so easily gone down the, you know, victim road of woe is me,
yep.
You know, everything's changed, but you didn't. You took opportunity and you've created a life for yourself. And I do believe we are the creators of our life. And don't get me wrong, we all come from different levels of privilege. So opportunities differ for everyone. Mm. But if you can look for the smallest amount of opportunity, no matter whether you're a 14-year-old kid who's having a crap time or you're post-menopause and you're looking out to the next 10, 20 years of your life and you're thinking, how do I want it to look? Just look for opportunity and just go for it.
Love that, Ange. Absolutely love it. Tell everyone where they find you one last time.
The best place to find me, I'm always yapping on Instagram. So I'm Virago_wellness_coaching on Instagram. Also look out for us at Trinity Wellness on Instagram as well. I'm on LinkedIn. And you can see the corporate side of me on LinkedIn as Angela Spencer. But yeah, just come and have a chat with me on Instagram, and my website and everything is linked on there.
I'll tag all the links onto my post as well. So if you follow me on anything, you'll be able to find Ange. And it's been a joy. Thank you so much.
You.
Once again, thanks to our sponsors, the Orthodontic Practice on Rodney Street. Proud to have them on board for the next couple of months. And anything you need to know about them, again, head to my socials. Ange, thank you kindly.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes Store.
Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool
via ladiesofliverpool.com.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the States in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.